Welcome to the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in collaboration with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active has teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio20 to get 20% off their entire range. I'm Dora Walsh, personalized nutritional therapist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems like obesity, hard to lose weight, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, autoimmunity, digestive problems, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important tips and nutritional advice that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. You can find out more about my work on my website, NutriHeal.net. This week, we're interviewing an amazing guest who, through his novel approach to his own diagnosis, became the first patient to document the beginning of a reversal process in polycystic kidney disease. Polycystic kidney disease, PKD, is a condition in which clusters of cysts grow in the body, mainly in the kidneys. Over time, the cysts may cause the kidneys to get bigger and stop working. PKD is most often passed through families. This is called an inherited condition. Cysts are round sacs with fluid in them. They are not cancer. In PKD, the cysts vary in size. They can grow very large, and having many cysts or large cysts can damage the kidneys. Polycystic kidney disease also can cause cysts to grow in the liver, the pancreas, and other places in the body. The disease can cause serious complications, including high blood pressure and kidney failure. PKD varies greatly in how bad it is. It's possible to prevent some complications, it's believed. Lifestyle changes and treatments may help reduce damage to the kidneys. Our guest today is Felix Mueller. He's a polycystic kidney disease patient and holistic health coach. After receiving his own PKD diagnosis early in his teenage years, Felix found a way to improve his kidney function and reducing kidney volume back to the normal range via a version of the paleo ketogenic diet and targeted supplement. With this novel approach, he became the first patient to document the beginning of a reversal process of PKD. He has shared his findings with the online community founded in 2016 for fellow sufferers and like-minded individuals. Felix is now a personal coach to patients and has given lectures on polycystic kidney disease at various institutions, including the Cleveland Clinic. Welcome to the show, Felix. It's great to have you here.
Hello, Dora. I'm super happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Your website is reversingpkd.com for anybody listening and they want to go on there and get some hope. You're also on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. Do they just type in your name to find you if they go onto those social media sites?
I guess my name is not the best way to do it. The best way is really to do Reversing PKD.
Reversing PKD. So the website is reversingpkd.com. And if you go to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X, you just type in Reversing PKD and you're going to find all of your stuff. This week, we're talking about reversing polycystic kidney disease. It's great to be able to talk about this. It's something that people don't really talk about in terms of reversing it because they think there's not much that can be done. We talked a bit about what PKD is. Tell us a bit more about it and then go on to tell us what you mean by reversing PKD.
So polycystic kidney disease is a genetically inherited condition, as we already touched upon. Usually it's discovered maybe in early teenage years or maybe in the childhood if you're lucky. Usually with an ultrasound, people get the first notice that there might be something wrong, that there might be some cysts in the kidneys. And in the beginning, it might be just one or two. And then with time, in the worst cases, it can progress to really kidney looking more like a cauliflower than a kidney. A lot of cysts in the kidney, and they, with time, usually they start to display some of the functional tissue of the kidneys. At first, you don't really notice much of a change in kidney function because the kidney has a lot of reserve capacity, right? There's a lot of organ reserve. But as you start to lose more and more tissue, if you're getting older, then at some point, there's no organ reserve left. And that's why people with PKD, they usually see not much of a change in kidney function for a very long time. and then suddenly they drop off a cliff. That's the point where the organ reserve is really used up. And that's, if you can think of kidney function as a percentage, which it's not, but many people think of it that way. If you start out at 100%, then you might go with 80 or 90% until 40, 50 years of age. And then suddenly, within a couple of years, you go down to 20 and then 15. And then you start looking at dialysis or transplant. At least that is the way that it has been going for all of PKD patients until very recently.
Is that what you were told when you were diagnosed with this? That was your trajectory?
Yes, that was exactly what my nephrologist told me back then. And it hasn't changed much what they tell people.
Yeah, so it's pretty scary, right?
Yeah, it was very scary. And my whole family found out at the same time. My grandma, my father, myself, we all got the diagnosis around, I think, 2006. I was 16 years old. And my father, of course, in his 40s, my grandma in her 60s. And it was quite the hard pill to swallow.
But your gran, she was still alive in her 60s and she didn't know she'd had it all that time.
Can be very low symptom for a very long time.
But when they found it, was it bad or was she okay? Like when she had that diagnosis at 60? Because you'd think that if she'd had PKD, maybe her reserve was going down.
Yeah, I think that at that point, her reserve started to go down. But it just started, and she was very diligent with her own natural remedy, which was kombucha back in the time. That's a fermented tea, and that seems to have some very cool benefits for many issues, but PKD being one of them. And I think that's part of the reason that she made it to a very old age without noticing anything. And I think we got that diagnosis in 2006, and she made it till, I think it was maybe 2017 when she went on dialysis. Yeah, she still had a good 10 years left.
Oh, so she did go on the dialysis in the end.
Yeah, she did.
Let's talk about how you define reversing, because it sounds like from what you've done for yourself after you got your diagnosis, you've been able to document the first reversal of PKD. Tell me what you mean by that.
Yeah, exactly. People do get confused about what that really means, because of course, the mutation is there. And I have no way of removing the mutation. We might have that possibility in the future with new technologies, but for now, we don't. So reversing really means that we look at the disease process itself, which is defined by losing more and more kidney tissue to cysts, and thereby getting the resulting increase in kidney volume and the resulting decrease in kidney function. And when I say reversing, that means that we want to reverse these two processes. So we don't just want to stop them, which there are some medications who can slow it down, but they can't stop it and they can definitely not reverse it. And what we want to do is we want to increase kidney function again and we want to get the kidney volume down again. So not everybody might have it in the cards to go back to normal kidney volume, depending on when they start, but we definitely want to go into the opposite direction. And that's why we call it reversing polycystic kidney disease.
What you're saying is in PKD, polycystic kidney disease, the volume of the kidney increases due to those cysts. So you want to get that down in order to improve the kidney function. And therefore, you're reversing what has happened.
Yeah, exactly. We want to reverse the growth of those cysts. And we're probably not going to go back to zero size increase in general, but we're definitely going to improve if we do the right things. And it's also a very important metric to have, and not many PKD patients actually get a lot of MRIs to even see their kidney volume, but it's a very good thing to do because kidney volume is actually, in the traditional medicine view of things, it's the best predictor of what your progression is, because the kidney function, as we talked about before, is so connected to organ reserve that we can't really see it until it's very late. But the MRI will always tell us the actual progression of the disease.
I understand, because it's looking at the volume. And how does this mutation, the genetic mutation, affect what you can eat? How did you find out about that?
So for me, it was a total luck of the draw, so to say. So I had some other issues in my life. I had some burnout issues. So very low energy when I was ending my studies back in 2015. And I was looking for some solutions for that. And then what I found was really the bulletproof diet, which is still existing, of course, to this day. The guy has a podcast. It's a very good podcast. And that's what I found back then. It's a podcast of Dave Asprey. And I found that podcast, and on that podcast, they were talking about different ways to influence health with diet. So I thought, okay, let's hear what that kind of diet is. And that was really what you were alluding to in the beginning, was a version of the paleo ketogenic diet. So it's very low carb, and it also has some restrictions on what type of foods you can eat. So for example, you're going to try and eat organic most of the time. You're going to try and get your meat from a very high quality source that's grass-fed. You're going to stick to mostly red meat, not so much the white meats. And all of these factors were just things that I was doing because I wanted to better my health in any way possible. And I didn't even expect anything to happen with my PKD. There was no reason to expect anything to happen there because it hasn't ever been documented before. Then I was very surprised that at my next nephrologist visit, I got an improvement in my kidney function. And on the ultrasound, it also was looking like it was like the kidney was decreasing in size. And of course, back then, my nephrologist wasn't really convinced that there was really any change going on. He just said, ultrasound is very inaccurate. It's very possible that nothing changed or it's an error in the measurement. And we should probably discard that result. And it's nice that your kidney function went up a little bit. But he wasn't really interested or surprised as much as I was, because I knew that this was the first time that I really had changed something about my diet. And like the first time ever, I get this improvement. So even though it's true that you can get erratic measurements with ultrasound, just the trend was always downhill or uphill regarding kidney size. And for the first time, it wasn't. And then it took a little time because I wasn't taking it that seriously back then. But in the end, I ended up getting an actual MRI, and that confirmed the size decrease.
It sounds like the doctor wasn't expecting much. He wasn't as excited about it as you, but knowing what you'd done, it was the first time you changed your diet and the first time you saw that correlation between what was happening in your kidney and what you were eating. And you felt that was connected, even though you hadn't even really known what you were doing. You were just trying to improve your overall health.
Yeah, I was very lucky to find that out. And yeah, that's really what started off my own investigation, because there were actually some studies on animals and in the Petri dish that had investigated like what was really happening with metabolism of energy in PKD mutations. And there was a paper that I found pretty early on that drew the parallels between PKD and cancer. And for cancer, there's been a push for ketogenic dieting for a pretty long time, actually. Of course, it's not accepted by the mainstream view, but it definitely is out there in the literature, in the scientific literature, and there's a lot of people trying ketogenic dieting on their own, and some of them are having good success with it. And the reason for that is that the cells that are multiplying in cancer that we don't really want to multiply, they are dependent on glucose or other fuels like glutamine for their growth. And I recently had Professor Thomas Seyfried on my podcast, who laid that out very beautifully. It was very interesting. And in that paper back then, it was said that the PKD metabolism in the cells is very similar to that in the cancer cells. And in that paper, they were not using ketosis, but they were using other ways of blocking the uptake of glucose. So I thought, okay, maybe the reason that I'm seeing some of these results is that in this diet, I'm restricting carbohydrates and I'm getting my body into what's called ketosis, right? So the body's getting its energy not from blood sugar or glucose, as most people are, but it's making a ketone from fat and using that for energy. So you're getting a new source of energy in your bloodstream that's an alternative to glucose. So you're then running dual fuel. And that seems to be, yeah, one of the main culprits in PKD, that you have this inability to use ketones in the mutated cells.
Going back to the diet for our listeners today, in case they don't understand what a bulletproof diet is or what a version of a paleo ketogenic diet is, let's just drill down a bit more, because this is so important for people listening today that want to maybe try to be healthier, to support themselves. Maybe they're suffering in the same way. You mentioned that it was high quality red meat, avoiding other forms of meat, mostly organic. You're reducing carbohydrates. Just Give us a typical day of this bulletproof diet, or the version of that paleo ketogenic diet, so listeners can understand what it means for them.
Yeah, sure. So very practically speaking, you really want to have an idea of what your needs are first. And there's formulas we can calculate, but really we want to make sure that you're getting enough calories, right? So this is not something where you want to starve yourself. You really want to have enough calories. So there's tons of formulas out there, but meet your caloric needs, right? Or even go a bit above. So we don't want to starve anybody. Then we want to make sure that we're getting enough high quality protein. There's the formula, 0.6 grams per pound of body weight per day. So in my case, that's around 100 grams of protein a day, maybe 110, 120, depending on how much exercise I'm doing. But I never want to undershoot that. And then I calculate like how much meat would I have to eat to hit that on any given day. And then we want to combine that with a lot of saturated fat. So exactly what our doctors told us for many years not to eat. So that can be in the form of tallow, can be in the form of butter, coconut oil. You can even do monounsaturated fat like avocado. What we don't want to do as much unsaturated fats. So of course, we need some fish oil. We also a little bit of olive oil, but not really that much. We really want to focus on the saturated fats. And we use a lot of green, healthy, non-starchy vegetables to soak that all up. So for example, you get a bag of frozen organic green beans, just as an example. You steam those and then you put them in a pan and you add a lot of fat, like 4 or 5 tablespoons of tallow or butter. And you cook that on a very low heat. So the beans start absorbing all the fat. And it's amazing like how much fat you can get into those vegetables, but that makes it so easy. Because what we really need is we want to fill up our calories once we have our protein needs calculated. We want to fill up all those remaining calories really with fat, because the vegetables that we're eating, they're giving us fiber, so a lot of bulk in the stool, but they're not giving us a lot of macronutrients, right? They're not giving us a lot of calories. So most of our calories are coming from saturated fats, and our protein is coming from high-quality grass-fed red meats like lamb or beef. And then we have the vegetables as a carrier for the fats. And that you can really combine those into all kinds of different dishes, right? You can make soups with that template. Have a lot of vegetables, have a nice bone broth, add some meat, perfect soup. You can do stir fries. You can do just steak with veggies or salad. So there's infinite ways to combine this, of course. I even have some recipes in my book. But it's really about having a lot of vegetables as bulk. So most of your meals are vegetables by bulk. Then most of your meals are fat by calories, and you add the right amount of protein to this that you calculate beforehand.
So basically, you wouldn't be having any type of starchy vegetables like sweet potatoes or anything like that. These are all non-starchy green vegetables, low-carb vegetables, combined with that high-quality protein and good saturated fat to make up the calories. So no carbohydrates at all. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And the non-starchy vegetables, there's a list that is part of the Bulletproof diet, which is why it's not just a paleo diet or keto diet. It's very specific. So Dave Asprey, who came up with the diet, he actually ordered the non-starchy vegetables regarding their anti-nutrient contents and carbohydrate contents. And we don't have to get into detail on that, but this list gives you a green to red zone and is ordered that way. And in the green zone, you have the non-starchy vegetables that are also low in anti-nutrients that would sap nutrients from your body, actually. Most people don't even know those exist. So yeah, that's important. And then once a week, you do a carbohydrate refeed, because we also want to keep the body guessing. Because if it gets used to being ketosis all the time, you get new issues, right? You can get hormone issues. You can get issues with saliva and tear production. Or you can even get creeping up blood glucose. So the blood glucose over time, even though you're not eating any carbohydrates, might go up slowly over the months because your body is not getting any external carbohydrates. So over time, it's starting to ramp up its own production, which is exactly what we don't want, right? We want low blood glucose and want to have ketones. And to maintain that, we have 1 to 2 days a week where you're doing carbs. Probably no more likely to do 2 if you're a woman, and more likely to do 1 if you're a man, just because of hormonal needs.
We're going to be talking a lot more about reversing PKD after a few messages from our commercial partners.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Me. I'm speaking with Felix Mueller from reversingpkd.com about reversing polycystic kidney disease. Now, a lot of people thought you couldn't do it, but Felix is the first person that has been able to do that for himself and to start to chart that and to report on it. And also, I believe you've written a book. Is that right?
Yes, we actually just released it almost a month ago, and it's been going great. My first book, actually, and it was very challenging to do it in the right way, structuring everything. I'm very happy that we got it out now and that people are loving it.
Tell us about the name of your book. Is it Reversing PKD?
Yes, it's Reversing Polycystic Kidney Disease.
Wonderful. And where can people get it?
Yeah, we're at all the outlets. We just released the audiobook as well, so Amazon works fine.
Amazon, so that people can go to normal bookstores and Amazon to get the book by Felix Mueller, Reversing Polycystic Kidney Disease. Now, you talked about the diet, the kind of the paleoketogenic diet, what people should be doing. Obviously, they probably want to read more about it to get a bit more data and information about how they can apply that to themselves. You've managed to make it work for yourself. You didn't expect anything at the beginning. You were just trying to be healthier. Now you've realized it's worked for you. What kind of results can be expected if people try this?
So when people start off on a diet, it's really important that they do stick to everything that's needed, because we are trying to do the impossible here, right? So it has been thought of as impossible for a very long time. So all the cog wheels have to be in the right place. And if that's done in the right way, then it usually starts off with a small increase in function. Maybe after the 3 to 6 month mark, you can get maybe 10, 20, 30% extra function if you're doing really good. But it's really a process that takes longer. And it's really a process that you want to keep doing for the rest of the life, really, if you are a PKD patient. And in my case, I can say that with every year that I continue on this program, I've only gained more points in kidney function. And it's the same for most people who are on this type of program. So they really have to stick with it. And they really have to make sure that they are staying on the right track, because oftentimes in the beginning you think, okay, I got this, I got to change these things about the diet, and then it all works out. But then you start to really fall off the wagon, maybe without really noticing it, because you think, oh, this food is fine and I'm going to have it every day. And then after 6 months, you notice, oh, wow, okay, every time I eat a tomato, even though it's supposedly low carb, my blood sugar goes up. And that might be because you have a personal intolerance to it, right? Because your body, when it's eating a food that you're intolerant to, and then it might throw off your blood sugar, and that might kick you out of ketosis. So it's a delicate process. It has to be done the right way. And people, I recommend always people that people should be measuring their ketones at home, but they should also be measuring their pH at home. So the alkalinity of their body, so that we can make sure that the whole body is in the right place for healing. And if we do that, then really after maybe a year, we are expecting to see the first kinds of reversal, even on MRI for PKD patients.
Has your family been using this as well? Because you mentioned you all got diagnosed.
Yes, we all got diagnosed. My grandma didn't make it to today. I think, yeah, she left us a little bit over a year ago. And as it's always hard to convince family members to do things that you want them to do. Because my grandma, in that case, she was very attached to her nephrologist, who doesn't support this kind of program, who's also my nephrologist, and who also, until this day, doesn't really recognize that this is going on. So it's very interesting what happens in the heads and minds of nephrologists. Yeah, and my dad, he's doing his best for now. I couldn't really get him to stay on it enough. And that is really a challenge that is very unfortunate. So I'm having much better results with people that are not in my family.
Yeah, that's how it is sometimes. I know exactly how you feel as a practitioner. But it's for you, you've said that with every year that has passed, you have improved your kidney function. And how long have you been doing it?
Yeah, I started doing it in 2015. So we're almost at 10 years now.
Okay, wonderful. And what about the people you're working with? Because I think you're also working as a coach to people with this condition.
Yes, I'm still pretty new with the coaching. It's maybe, 2 years now that I'm doing this. And we're getting similar trajectories of improvement there. Also, the later in your own disease progression that you're starting, the slower you're going to have the improvement because there's more organ reserves that's already been lost, right? If you're coming in with a kidney function of maybe 20, like it's not a percentage, but people think of it that way. So let's say 20%. That means that you've already lost not just 80% of kidney function, but more like 95% because you also have the organ reserve that's missing now. So those people do have a much slower improvement than if there's a lot of organ reserve left, right? But even those, you start off with a couple points, and then after a year or two, you might see like a 10-point increase, something like that.
So there is still hope for people that may be starting later because they didn't know about this.
Yes, there's always hope because you got to think of it that way. You have to eat something. So it might as well be stuff that's not going to throw fuel onto the fire of this PKD process that's going on. You really have to think of it not as much as therapy, but it's a lifestyle, right? And if you're not doing keto, ketogenic diet, or the bulletproof diet, then you are, by definition, eating a lot of carbohydrates. So you're fueling the fire. So really, there's no reason not to go this route.
So these people, they really need to restrict the glucose. It's the glucose that could be feeding this, as in the thought about cancer as well. It's feeding, it's proliferating those cells, and you don't want that growth in the kidney. You want to get your volume back. You want to get your function back. So I think the more that you can focus on a healthier diet and go that way, it can't do any harm, can it?
Yeah, it really can't do any harm. If you're affected by PKD, you really have to imagine those cells. If you really understand what's going on the cellular level within the kidney, I think that really helps to steer you away from the carbs that you shouldn't be having. Because it's not just about restricting glucose, because if we're just restricting glucose and we're not giving the body anything else, and it's going to start making glucose out of the muscle, you're going to lose some muscle. But if we're going to give it enough fat and we give it the option to go into ketosis, long term, of course, you can also go there with just fasting, but at some point you're going to die. So we don't want to be fasting for too long. Then you're really giving it that alternative fuel source. And the cells, they have to make energy out of something. And if there's no, like, there's always going to be some glucose, right? So your body's dependent on having some level of glucose. Even though we're doing this low carbohydrate diet, it's going to still make some glucose that is made out of the muscle. But as soon as you also have those ketones present, then the cells either by osmosis, some of them are going to get ketones and some of them aren't, or they even have the option to choose, right? And we don't really know like how it happens on the cellular level, just because it's a very new type of science. But maybe the cells even choose to have ketones instead of glucose, if you think of it in a more maybe spiritual way, because we don't really know what's happening at that level. Then they can choose, okay, there's this fuel, and if I take this standard glucose, then I'm just going to keep proliferating and destroying my human. Or if I take this fuel, the ketone, then I suddenly have the option of working normally again. I suddenly have the option of being a normal kidney cell that is doing its part and that is filtering the blood. And I like to think of it in that way, that the body really has more intelligence than sometimes we give it credit for.
How long did it take for you to become adapted to this kind of diet?
Yeah, for me, I think it wasn't really that long. So on a molecular level, I guess 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. Back when I started, I wasn't really sure what I was doing. So I didn't measure back then. But for many clients and people that are posting it publicly on the group, it's usually 2 to 4 weeks that they really get into ketosis. And in the beginning phases, it's a good thing to know for people who might want to try this for themselves, that your requirements for salt, they go way up. So your body needs glucose to hold on to salt. So when we're lowering the glucose in the blood and also the carbohydrate intake, then we have less of an ability to hold on to the salt that we're consuming. Of course, we need a lot of salt because that is what keeps us hydrated, because the glucose with the salt and the salt goes with water. On keto, you need a lot more salt. And people, when they start out on keto, they get the so-called keto flu. It's not really a flu, but for some people, it feels like it. And that means that you start feeling weak. You might even get some cramps. You might get flu-like symptoms. And some people, they even get acetone breath, bad breath. For those people, it's super important to upregulate salt intake. We really want to 4x your salt intake. And many people have been told to limit their salt, right? Which is unfortunate because we really don't need to limit it that much, as blood pressure, which is why people are restricting salt, is not so much dependent on salt as an absolute intake, but it's dependent on the relationship between salt and potassium. And on this type of diet, we're of course eating a lot of potassium because the vegetables, which are the main bulk in all the meals, they have a lot of potassium. And we need to balance out that potassium with salt, and then we're losing more through the urine because we're just losing so much as we're not having so much glucose. So really, if people are starting to adapt to this and you start feeling weak, remind yourself, you gotta increase the salt intake. And really the best way to do it is just to go by taste. If you think adding more salt will make it more tasty to you, add more salt. You want to reach that point where you think, okay, if I add more salt now, it's going to become less tasty. It's become too salty. I really have to tell this to people a lot of the time because people have been trained so much to avoid salt. So I really have to tell them, like, how does it work to salt to taste? And that's how you do it.
I mean, as a nutritionist, for me, salt is a health product. We love it. There are some salts that are healthier than others. Which salt are you recommending?
I would also be interested what you're recommending. But what I'm saying...
What are your thoughts? And I love sea salt.
So I think the best of both worlds is probably ancient sea salts, because sea salt used to be the best, but now we have like microplastics and mercury and whatever's in there. In Germany, we have a local area where they mine salt that dried up from the sea like millions of years ago. And they have them in the US as well. I'm sure they have in the UK. We used to say Himalayan salt, but there's also microplastics contamination there because they don't have. So I always recommend to find some type of ancient sea salt in your local area, really, where, especially for countries where there's more regulation on mining and stuff.
Yeah, this is a really good point, actually. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about reversing polycystic kidney disease with Felix. And his website is Reversing PKD. His book is Reversing Polycystic Kidney Disease, available from Amazon. And we're going to be talking a lot more about that after a few messages from our commercial partners.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Me. And this week we're talking about reversing polycystic kidney disease, speaking with Felix Muller. And his website is reversingpkd.com. And the title of his book is Reversing Polycystic Kidney Disease, available from good booksellers and from Amazon. Now, it's been wonderful to talk about your story, the diet, what you learned, the results that you've achieved. But what else can we do in addition to diet?
Yeah, of course, as my practitioner, who was always in the UK, actually, always said, we got to build our house of health from the ground up, right? And the ground floor is going to be the diet. But once we are in the right place with the diet, right? We have ketones in the blood. We have a good pH, which is measured by second morning urine pH, by the way. And we want to have that between 6.5 and 7 for any kind of listener that's looking to try this. If we have that in place, we have the right macronutrients, we have the right ketones, we have the right pH. Then we can think about, okay, the cysts, they do need some growth signaling mechanisms to grow. And those are actually the same as there are in the body for other things that grow, like muscle, for example. So these kind of mechanisms, they can be suppressed or activated with different supplements. And I didn't notice, I didn't mention this before, but we're doing this diet in a context of intermittent fasting, right? We're not eating for about 16 to 17 to 18 hours a day, depending on how much you can stomach, so to say. And inside that fasting window, so whenever we stop eating at night, we can add some additional supplements to suppress the growth signals that are sometimes sent and sometimes suppressed. During the night, when we're fasting, they're starting to be suppressed, and we can regulate that to be even more increased. So we have more suppression during the night. One thing that is very simple, very easy to get, and quite affordable is called quercetin. It's a yellow flavonoid or plant coloring compound that they extract from some plants. And it has so many amazing benefits for so many different conditions. Like, it's an antihistamine, it's an antiviral. It has so many cool benefits if you look into quercetin. It's really probably something that almost everybody should be taking. But one of the things that it does is it suppresses mTOR. So mTOR is the name for one of the main mechanisms in the body to increase growth signals. So any kind of growth in the body, muscle, but also kidney cysts, all need mTOR to grow. And it's already starting to get downregulated when we go to sleep. And if we take some quercetin at night, maybe 1,000 milligrams, then we can start to decrease this mTOR activation even more. And we can also add to that curcumin and ginkgo biloba. These have been shown in one study on PKD to be synergistically inhibiting cyst growth just on their own. So each on their own. And then if you do them together, then you get an even more pronounced effect. And we want to take the curcumin in our fasting window, but we want to take the ginkgo in our feeding window, because ginkgo actually works on another mechanism, but it does activate the growth factors. So you want to do that when you're already eating, which means you're already activating growth factors. So you're not making anything worse with that. So you have the ginkgo during the day, and you have curcumin and quercetin during the night. With the curcumin, very important because it's a large molecule. It's hard to absorb. So if you want to absorb it intact, then you need a formula that is combined with something to make the absorption easier. The standard thing that most products include is black pepper or its extract, piperine. This is not a great idea. And so in my opinion, you shouldn't be using a black pepper basically at all, because it does open up the gut lining. And we already have a kidney issue in this case. And the kidney has some problems with detoxing some of the toxins, including the stuff that's originating from the gut. And we want to keep those gut lining tight junctions very tightly closed. And the black pepper is opening them up, which means curcumin can get through. We don't want to use that. There's other forms of curcumin. For example, there is the micronized forms of curcumin, and there's liposomal curcumin. So both of those work a lot better, and they're also not an issue for the gut lining. So find some micronized curcumin. I have my favorite products listed at reversingpkd.com/curcumin if somebody's looking for a good product. And then you combine it with ginkgo biloba during the day and also quercetin at night. And that's a really good basic starting point for suppressing some of the growth factors that are triggering PKD as well as other growth like muscle. And just to be sure that people understand, we're just suppressing growth during the night, and of course not completely. So repair processes can still work. But during the day, we're not suppressing growth. So we have 16, 17, 18 hours of fasting where we are suppressing growth, which means longer times during the day we are suppressing it. But then we also have the feeding window where we're allowing growth to happen, and we're triggering it with protein intake and our other foods that we're eating.
How does the diet and the supplements work in daily life, and especially cooking for yourself or for somebody in the family that might not have a PKD, or your children, etc.? How have you made this work for you or the people that, and also the people that you work with?
Yeah, so it's super important that a regimen like this is very easy to do. It needs to be very simple. So you can really start off with, if it's about making something hassle-free, we can really start off with a steamed frozen broccoli or cauliflower or green beans, something like that. And we can put just standard grass-fed burger patties into the oven, and we bake them, and then you can even leave the kitchen, come back after half an hour, and it's good. Those are like really simple meals to make. Just have to top it with a lot of butter or some of the fat that drips down from the burger patty. So just making sure that there's a lot of fat in that meal. But that's a really simple way to just get started with veggies and meat and a lot of fat. And this kind of food has so many benefits, and it's great for basically all demographics. There's really not many people who would not thrive on such a diet. If you're diabetic, or if you have heart problems, or if you have, there's so many different conditions, even cancer, right? So many conditions where a ketogenic type diet is indicated in the research. But even if you're healthy, it's fine to be ketogenic. You can add some more carbs on some of the days if you want, but it should work for the spouse, even the children. However, they're still growing, so we don't want to restrict carbs too much. But even they can have 2-3 ketogenic days per week. And then on the other days, you can just add some rice or some sweet potato, something like that, to their diet. So they get the full spectrum when they're still growing.
I guess with the kids, if they don't have that problem and that they don't want to restrict the carbohydrates, they could have the same meat. And like I said, with the burger patty, they could add the burger bun with it, a wholemeal burger bun. And they can have the vegetables. So in that case, it works for everyone.
We can just add back some of the healthy carbohydrates. Even on the Bulletproof Diet Roadmap, it has a section for carbohydrates. And even those are ordered by anti-nutrient content. Grains are a bit lower on the list. And it recommends more of the rice and the sweet potatoes.
I love sweet potatoes, especially with the skin. Really great. And when you cook them with fat, it brings out the beta carotene. It becomes more readily available. But it's actually been wonderful speaking with you, Felix. Yeah, you're the author of Reversing Polycystic Kidney Disease. So people can find that in Amazon, the book, or in booksellers. You can also find out more about Felix and his program on his website, Reversing PKD. Thank you for coming on the show. I do really appreciate it. It's been wonderful to listen to your story of reversing the condition and to hear about how you work with other people to support them as well, to get an idea on how to do it. I'm sure there's more information on your website and the book. And listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Please do join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. And today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active has teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use code RADIO20 to get 20% off their entire range. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.